And it is, do not discount yourself. All right. So, here we go. So, first of all, do you know how much you are longed for and that Christ would have given his life just for you if you were the only person on this earth? Do you know that? I want you to get that in your hearts because Jesus loves you so much. When he sacrificed himself and went through that horrific death on a cross, it wasn't for everybody else. It was for each one of you. And he would have done it for each one of you if there was nobody else here. And that's the basics of my message this morning. I want you to get that in your hearts today. What we believe about ourselves impacts our Christian life and how we walk with God. Our internal reality defines our external reality. So we need to line up our internal with the Word of God and what God says about us. When we have confidence in who we are in God, we are free to be ourselves. We're not trying to perform or conform to anybody else. We are free to be ourselves with God our Father because he loves us as we are. He accepts us as we are. Ephesians 2:22 says, "In him you are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit." When we gave our hearts to Jesus, I think God the Father sees us like a jewel, precious, full of colour, reflecting his love and pure without blemish. In Galatians 3:27 it says, "For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne, and that's because we are his children. We are his favorite children. Every single one of us is his favorite child. So when we want to come to the Lord, we don't have to look at ourselves and think, "Oh my gosh, yeah, but you don't know what I did this week." His arms are open wide. His door never closes. We are his children. We are his favorite children, and we can go to him whenever we want. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's something else I want you to get in there. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Not from anything we've done, because we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God wants to give us the Holy Spirit because he loves us so much. And when we have accepted him, we are part of him. Nothing can change that because God has accepted us. Now, our thoughts are very powerful. They define who we are and what we do. They define how we act and how we impact those around us. Now, somebody posted on Facebook a short while ago about a young boy. Now, I don't remember the name, but this was a long time ago, and he took a letter home from school to his mother, and his mother opened the letter, and she had tears in her eyes, and she read this letter to the boy. He was only about 6 or 7 from what I remember, and it said, the mum rang, read it, and she said, "The headmaster says you are too clever to be taught in our school. You have to be home taught." That boy grew up. Now, if any of you remember his name, please remind me because I don't remember it. But that boy grew up to be one of the cleverest people in the world. Now, later on, years and years later, when his mum died, he found that letter. But what it actually said was, "Your child is stupid. I cannot teach him. Take him home, he is expelled," or something to that effect. But because of the mum's kindness, belief in him, the love and encouraging words, that boy believed in himself and reached his full potential. And that's what the Father does to us. He wants us to hear his word and reach our full potential. 1 Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Don't you love that? God's special possession.
Wow, I just love that.
John 14 says, I will live in you. Now, it's not just about how we feel, but faith in knowing that God is with us, that we are accepted, and he loves us regardless of who we are. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus didn't condemn her. He knew every single thing about her. He even says, you've had 5 husbands. But he didn't condemn her. He said it in love, and he accepted her. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who Jesus went to eat with. Now, Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He had stolen. He was a cheat. But he was hiding up a tree because he was desperate to see this man that everyone was speaking about and he'd heard about. So he sat up a tree to get as close as he could to see Jesus. But I can imagine how he must have felt when Jesus stopped and looked directly at him. I bet he wanted to hide behind every leaf in that tree. But you see, Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus was kind. And he said, can I come to your house and have dinner? You know? And that reminds me of a story of when I first got saved. Some friends took me to a meeting. And there were, 100 people, a couple of hundred people there. And it was a prophetic person from America. Don't remember the name. And he picked out like 10 different people. And I was one of them. And he said, stand up. Now, I was a new Christian. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, what is he going to say about me? Because I knew my past. But Jesus knows my past. And he still accepted me. And that's the same with everybody. He knows your past. He knows what you did this week. He knows what you'll do next week. He's not going to reject anybody. He loves you. And that's what he wants to get across. He loves everybody. We mustn't discount ourselves because Jesus hasn't. John 1:46, Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, I think this was mentioned because Jesus wants to make it clear. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter our failures or our weaknesses. It doesn't matter if we've got an education or not. Jesus was born in Nazareth. And that's a bit like comparing Nazareth with Slough. It has a bad name, not by everybody, but it's not thought very highly of by a lot of people. Jesus was born in a stable. And I think this was all to show his humility and saying it doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter what you've done. It's about where you're going. The past is dead and buried. We are moving forward into something new. And it was funny this morning, I was thinking about this and something came to me and I thought, actually, that's really good, Lord. I like that. And it was like thinking of the church like a bus. Yeah. And I don't know if any of you in the past, you know, your husband, your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend have said, right, I'm taking you away on a nice surprise weekend. We're going somewhere really nice, you know, but you don't know where it's going. And if you think of the church a bit like a bus, you know, Jesus has brought you a ticket. He's given you a ticket. And he's saying, I'm going to take you on a surprise journey. I'm going to take you somewhere really fantastic. But all you've got to do is accept it and get on. Now, if you turn that ticket down, you're saying to Jesus, well, I'm not worthy. But Jesus is saying, I've bought you the ticket. You are worthy. Get on the bus, come and enjoy the journey. So don't turn down the ticket. Don't discount yourself and say you're not worthy, because you are worthy, not for what you've done, but through the blood of Jesus and what he's done. We need to stop talking negative things over ourselves and start agreeing with how God sees us. We are born again because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. If we keep saying we can't, then we won't. If we keep saying, I'm fat, then fat will keep coming. If we constantly say, I'm tired, we will be. If we say, I'm not capable, then we're discounting ourselves. Now, the Bible tells us all things are possible for those who believe. Our words are powerful. God's word created the world and everything in it. Our words have the power of life and death. If we say, I can do this, we will accomplish what we set out to do. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything in him who gives me strength. Now, that isn't to say that we should do everything. That's where prayer and wisdom comes into it. But I do believe that God gives us all we need to accomplish everything in accordance for his will for us. And he only wants the best for us. But to know his will, we need to spend time and prayer with him. And don't listen to the words of negativity spoken to you, because that's not God speaking. God says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives too. Look at Jonah. Now, I'm not going to read the story of Jonah, but I'm sure most of you know it. God wanted him to go and do something, and Jonah said, I'm not doing that. And he ran away. Now, he got on a ship, and the storm blew up, and the people cast lots to see who had caused it. You know, there was quite a bit of superstition those days, I think. And it fell to Jonah. So Jonah was thrown over the side, you know, and he got eaten by a whale. Now, I think if God had discounted him, he would have been dead. But God hadn't discounted him. God never took his eyes off of Jonah, even though Jonah had taken his eyes off of the Lord and his back was to the Lord as he was running away. But God never took his eyes off Jonah. He never let him go. He was in the fish. He was there for a while. But it was interesting what Jonah said. He said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. He wasn't banished. He just had his back to the Lord. The Lord never banished him. He banished himself. He discounted himself. The Lord disciplines those he loves. It's like a child. If your child's having a big old tantrum, sometimes you get hold of them, you sit them on a step or on something little, and you say, stay there till you've calmed down, because we don't want that child to hurt themselves. And God can sometimes do that with us. He can take hold of us and say, just sit there, like with Jonah. Stay in the belly of the whale. You can't get into much trouble there, you know. And when you come out, you'll continue with your journey. Ephesians 5 talks about encouraging each other and speaking in psalms. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Speak God's promises in line with his word. Jesus knew how important it was to remind ourselves and to speak the promises of God to ourselves and to each other. Now, I don't kind of post much on Facebook, but like Dorothy mentioned this morning, I have been so encouraged by what others have been posting recently in our prayer and fasting. So please keep doing it, those of you who do it. I might not respond, but actually I am so, so encouraged and blessed by what other people do. Speak positives over our friends and our family and our situations in line with God's word. Such as prosperity. Proverbs 11:10 says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The Lord wants to prosper you, not to harm you. Healing. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went through Galilee teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Notice it says every. None of us are exempt from healing. He wants all of us to be healed. And we need to pray that over ourselves if we're going through something. Florence, I mention you. Val, I mention you. I believe God wants to heal you. Don't give up. Hold on, because that is the word. God wants to heal everyone. Jesus walked around healing every sickness and disease. Protection. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Freedom. Emotional, spiritual, physical. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim captives for freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. There is release in His name. Dan, release for you today, freedom for you. Claim it and hold on to that word. Love. The one we all know. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Say these words to other people and to yourself when you're going through these situations. Find a word in the Bible. Believe me, in the Bible there is a word for every single thing you are going through. Find it, declare it, speak it out and say, no, this is what God says for me. I'm claiming it. God doesn't lie. Everything that is in this book is for us, for our benefit, for walking forward and saying, no, I now belong to the Lord. I don't belong to anything that belonged in my past. That is dead and buried. I am a new creation and I am walking forward with the Lord. And this word says that I can have all these things: healing, prosperity, protection, freedom, and love. God promises His words will not return empty. So everything we speak out and declare will not come back empty or void. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, He spoke the word of God, and it stopped the devil. When the devil came to tempt Him in the 40 days in the desert, he said things like, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but on the word of God. That's what we need to do. When you've got that nasty little voice over the back saying, well, you can't do that, He doesn't really mean you, say, no, no, He does. Look, this is what He says. This is for me. And what does He say? The word says, you are truly and wonderfully made. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What does Psalm 91 say again? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. Therefore, we can stand in the word of God and find rest in the presence of our Father. We can enjoy His presence knowing He is with us every minute. He's in control, even when we're going through difficult circumstances and we wonder what on earth is going on. We can have faith in knowing that all things will work for the good of those who love Him. Jesus gives us a good example of resting with the Father. When He was asleep in the boat with the disciples and a storm was blowing and the waves were getting pretty rough, to the point where the disciples panicked and they woke Jesus, and Jesus rebuked the waves and they all stopped and that was all fine. But notice Jesus was asleep for all that, because He knew who He was. He knew that that storm couldn't hurt Him. In another passage, Peter steps out of the boat and begins to walk to Jesus. But it's only when he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at what was actually going on that he started to sink. But Jesus grabbed his hand and said, why did you doubt? I bet Jesus was so proud of him when he actually grabbed his hand. And I bet when he says, why did you doubt, that he actually said that in real gentleness and encouragement. And I bet there was a real sense of joy in Jesus' heart, because Peter actually did believe for a while and he actually walked on water. We're on a journey taken by faith. When Jesus sent out the 72, they came back filled with joy because they said, even the demons submit to us in Jesus' name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, the disciples were filled with joy. At that moment, they knew who they were. They knew the authority they carried in the Lord. But there were other times when they were afraid, like when they were in the boat. It's not about how we feel. Our emotions change from day to day, sometimes hour to hour. Our emotions will change with what's happening around us. But God doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, I want to do a little experiment. So this is a bit odd, but, you know, play along, please. I want you to use every muscle in your face, and I want you to put on your biggest grin, and I want you to look at the person next to you, grin at them, and then turn to the next one. Grin at them. Go on. Okay. Now I can hear giggling and laughing. Now, how many of you feel a little bit happier since doing that than you did before? Yeah? What we focus on becomes strong in our life. When we focus on unholy things or painful things, we will begin to think and feel those feelings. But similarly, when we focus on the Word of God, it becomes part of us. Yeah? So when you're going through the hard stuff, fix your eyes on the Lord, you know? Bring that joy back in. My point is, if you ignore how you're feeling, you invite joy, joy will come. If you ignore how you are feeling and speak the promises of God over your life and the lives of those around you, you are declaring and inviting those words to be fulfilled. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You might be thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, that may be true, but Jesus does. And he's the one who can bring you the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's the one that can bring you joy everlasting. He's the one that can bring you strength and be your rock, not me. You may be thinking, yeah, but this joy is temporary. And when we leave here, I have to face that mountain again. And that's again when we speak out the word of God. And what does God's word say about mountains? Faith as big as a mustard seed, and you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. But what did he mean by mountains? Did he mean a literal one? Well, I think a mountain means anything that blocks our clear view of God, anything that hinders the coming and effective work of God in our lives and the lives of those around us. Any other words like sickness, poverty, lack of faith, addictions, unforgiveness, and not being able to accept who we are in Christ, they're all mountains. And we have the authority to move every one of those mountains and any more that you can think of. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. So pray for that sickness mountain to move. Declare for it to move. Because God says it will move at your command. You can move mountains with faith the small as a mustard seed. It says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Declare that mountain of poverty or not having enough to go. God says he'll provide everything we need. Jesus said, it is finished. That means death has lost. You are saved. You are free. You are a beloved child of the living God, and you have the right to come and sit in his presence, ask for his favor, and tell that mountain to move. Don't hold on to any mountains. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you. And just to add in, this isn't about condemning anybody. This is about moving mountains out of the way so we can fulfill our destiny and our purpose in Christ. Let's activate our faith. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that What was seen, what is seen, was not made out of what is visible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So what does God want? God wants us to be closer to him. He wants us to walk in faith with his Holy Spirit, to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to set the captives free. He wants us to see chains broken. He wants us to see lives healed in body and spirit. He wants to see people with painful pasts able to forgive and live in the present and have hope for the future. God wants to restore the years the locusts have eaten. And I like that one, because it doesn't matter what's gone on before. God can restore those years. Ephesians 5 says, "Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And I think what that means is, wake up. God loves you. He wants you to understand just how much he loves you. Rise and shine, and Christ will shine on you. 1 Corinthians said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." A reminder what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and he's faithful." Can you imagine what would happen if everybody in the church exercised the gifts of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, miracles, working miracles, gifts of healing, tongues, interpretations of tongues. And talking of that, I heard not long ago about an Iranian refugee who came over to the UK and he was given the gift of English tongues. That's amazing. I love that. Prophecy, faith, not just being saved faith, but supernatural faith, God's faith imparted for the edification of his people, and discernment. Discernment's important because it protects us from deception. We don't want to hear the lies of the enemy. We want to hear what God says to us. Romans 12:5, and these aren't the exact words. "So in Christ we form one body with different gifts, according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good." Let's pray to the Holy Spirit for the gifts to be imparted and recognize when we actually have them. Let's pray for faith and courage to exercise them, not just to ourselves, but our family, our community, our friends. Let's not discount what part we have in all of this, because Jesus hasn't discounted any of us. Long before the world, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In the presence of God, we can hear what he has for us. We can hear his plan and purpose for us. And when we're going through the difficult times, it can be really kind of difficult to hear that. And that's the time that we need to come and just rest in God's presence, take our eyes off the problems around us and actually just sit, wait on the Lord, hear what he has to tell us. When we get into his word, it encourages us. When we encourage each other with words and psalms and things, you know, what like Dorothy did this morning, encouraging people with prophecy. If you feel you have something for somebody, don't hold back. Don't discount yourself and say, maybe that's not from the Lord. If it's good and if it lines up with what's in the Bible, it probably is from the Lord. So say it and encourage somebody. We can live in his presence and we can receive his promises. Staying in his presence is for our benefit and for those around us. There is no place like the presence of God, because that's where we find his peace, his joy, his rest, his encouragement, and his truth. The best place is to be close to God in his presence and his word, and knowing who we are in him. Let him tell you how much he loves you. Come and sit with your Father. Come and rest in his presence. Come and let him tell you how special you are. Come and sit in his arms. Let him hug you. Don't discount yourself. Take the ticket that Jesus gave you and get on the bus and let's go on a lovely journey and let's see how special and surprising it can be. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Be still and know that he is God. And that's my message.
Told you she's going to be good, didn't I? She's so good. I'm going to get you to pray for everybody before you go, that they can stand in the authority that they have and that they have a right to come into the presence of God.
Would you like to stand with me? Let's pray that in. Lord, we just lift ourselves up to you. And Father, we just say, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to you, Lord. Let us feel your presence. Let us know how much you love us. Let us keep our eyes on you, Lord, our focus on you. Father, show us how much you love us. Give us words and visions, Father. Let us speak to each other in psalms, Lord, and encouraging words. Father, let us sit in your presence and find rest in turbulent times. Let us look to you, Father, and say, Father, you are my God, and I'm so pleased I can sit in your arms. I'm so pleased that you love me. I'm so pleased, Father, that I can come to you in every single circumstance and that you are there. Your arms are open wide and you're willing and waiting to receive me, Lord. So, Father, I just pray freedom today. Freedom for captives, Lord. Chains be broken, Lord. Healings to happen, Lord. I pray for new gifts of prophecy, Father. I pray for new gifts of ministry. I pray for new gifts, Lord, of healing. I pray that people who have these gifts will recognize them, Lord, from this moment forward, and that they will walk forward in you, Lord, that they will know who they are in you, that they will trust you, and that they will never ever discount themselves again, Lord, and that we would just hear your gentle, kind, loving voice and know that it doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've come from, but it matters where we're going. Father, be with us, I pray. Be with us, Father. Open our eyes, minds, hearts to you today, Lord, and let us walk through this week in a new, fun, exciting way, knowing that our journey is with you and that you've got something so amazing, so exciting for us, Lord, when we keep our eyes on you. Help us reach our destiny in you, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.